We're on the top of Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, three lines down from the top. Let's just review what we know about Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is now going to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's shita, which is on the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, is that there was a kohen who was in charge of collecting the dam at the time of the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach that was Nishpach Al HaRitzvah, and the Gemara establishes that it was clear that the dam that was Nishpach was dam that was Niskabel B'Kli, and after the Kabbalah Sakli, some of it was Nishpach because of the massive amount of people in the Azara. Inadvertently, dam was Nishpach. If the dam would have been Nishpach directly from the Tzavara Behema without going into a Klisharis, without the Kabbalah Sadam, that dam would be absolutely possible, and there's nothing we could do to salvage that dam. But Kohanim's Rizim Heim, and therefore they were very careful to be Makabal all the dam, but afterwards, subsequently, it spilled from the Klisharis. So now the Gemara asks, Falo Dam Tamtzis. We have two categories of dam. We have dam Shehanefesh Tluyaba, the dam that comes spurting out. And then we have dam tamtzis, that's not dam anefesh, that's dam that comes out after the death of the behema, that's posel lizrika. And the reason why it's called dam tamtzis, according to the Bartanura, is because it's mitmatze v'nischat v'shoses. So it sort of gathers together and it drips out. Miloshon v'nimtza domo, a pasuk in Vayikra. Tosfos and Chulin gives another explanation why it's called dam tamtzis, and the tamtzis is miloshon yitzia, that it goes out of the body of the behema after the death of the animal. The Rambam in Pirushim Shlaisa Krisis says that it's dam that goes out karav lemisa, right before the animal dies. That dam is pasul mizbeach. So the Gemara is asking now, while it's true that there's dam on the ritzpah that has to be collected because it's dam nefesh, and it's kashal izrika, because the fact that the dam fell on the ritzpah does not pasul the dam if it was after it was niskam b'klishos, as we learned earlier. But nevertheless, there's a mixture here of dam tamtzis, because some of the dam that's on the floor is dam that's posel lizrika, it's after the Mises HaBehema. And now that we have a Taroves, we might assume, for example, that although there's dam koshel lizrika, maybe that's the mute of the dam, but perhaps rover the dam in this Taroves is dam tamtzis, which is posel lizrika. And therefore, the rove is mevatel the mute is batel the rove. So Gemara answers Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with his shita diomar dam hatamtzis kri dam, that even dam hatamtzis, as far as we're going now to macholos asuros, dam has two dimensions, two categories, and they mirror one to the other. There's dam that's prohibited under a lotase, that's an iser chomer sheish bakares, and there's dam that and that iser kares is formulated in Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin in the parsha of Macholos Asuros in Parsha Shmini. It says ki nefesh kol basar damo benafshohu. The Omar Levnei Yisrael Dam Kol Basa Lo Sochelu Lo Sochlu Ku Nefesh Kol Basa Domo Hu Kol Ochlov Yikares. And Rabbi Yehuda says Disanya Dam Tamtzis Bazhara. In other words, even though the Chiyuv Kares that the Torah spells out applies to Dam Benafsho, it's only Dam Nefesh Dam Sha Nefesh Tluyabo. But nevertheless, there are two parts to the Isur Achilas Dam. There's the Chiyuv Kares, the full blast Isur, that's in a case of Dam Nefesh. And then there's an Isur Lav, which in fact the Torah repeats five times, there are five lavim in dam, and one of them teaches us the Isur dam tamtzis, as Rashi points out in Masechta Pesachim. So that's this braisa quoting Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Tanakhama, dam tamtzis bazhara. So Tanakhama, this braisa maintains that if you eat dam tamtzis, you violate a lav, and for that you get malchus. But there's no chiv karis. Rabbi Yehuda, he goes one step further. Bekaris, once the Torah included dam, even dam tamtzis, because of those five extra, you know, one of those five extra psukim, then dam tamtzis, the Torah is including v'chlal the isur dam. It goes back into the category of dam as far as the isur karis is concerned, and dam tamtzis has the same status as dam hanefesh. The Gemara Krisus clarifies that Rabbi Yehuda derives this from the pasuk in that same place that we mentioned earlier, Vayikra Yud Zayin. It says, "Ve'ish ish mi beis Yisrael u'minager hagar besocham asher yochal kol dam v'nasati ponai b'nefesh ochel sadam v'ikarti hikresi oso mikerev ama koris." And it says, "Kol dam." The ribui of kol dam is to teach me even dam hatamtzis. That's also has the same identical shame dam as dam nefesh according to Rabbi Yehuda to generate an achiv karis. And the Gemara sees dam le mizbeach, dam le karbon, as a reflected image of dam le isra achila, and to the same extent according to Rabbi Yehuda dam atamtzis is included and equated with dam nefesh as far as isra achila, so too dam atamtzis is considered dam as far as Rika is concerned on the Mizbeach, has the same status as Dam HaNefesh. And if that be the case, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, when this Kohen, this appointed Kohen, is collecting the Dam on the Ritzvah of Mizbeach, it doesn't matter what the Tarovus is. If it includes even Rov Dam Tamtzis, it doesn't matter. Dam Tamtzis is Koshel Rika. The Sfasemis asks the following question. He says, even if Dam Tamtzis is Koshel Zricha, but nevertheless, there's also included in this Taroves, Shiore Dam Mikola Karbonos, leftover Dam. In other words, he did the Zricha, and there was a volume of Dam that was a surplus Dam. It fell onto the Ritzpah, and for sure that doesn't generate a Kapara. So let there be bittul adam in the dam that was shiari adam. Okay, we don't have time now for the Chazanish's answer, but the Gemara now is bothered by the following question: Vomar Rabbi Yehuda mod Vomar Rabbi Loza mod Rabbi Yehuda leinyan kapara shedam. Here we're referring to dam tamtzis eino mechaper. In other words, even Rabbi Yehuda recognizes the distinction between two categories of dam. On the one hand, dam nefesh, and on the other hand, dam tamtzis. That although they're both included in the iser dam as far as generating a chi of karis is concerned, they're both kashal izrika, but the kapara depends upon dam hanefesh and not dam tamtzis. Shenemar. The pasuk says again, back to Vayikra Yud Zayin, ki nefesh abosar badam hi vanina sativ lachem al mizbech lechaper al nafshel sechem. The Torah is outspoken about the fact that it's dafka ki a nefesh abosar badam. That's the dam hanefesh shenasativ lachem al mizbech lechaper. That's kapara, and therefore we're going to darshan dam hanefesh shanefesh yotzei bo. Korui dam, she'ena nefesh yotzeba ein korui dam. As far as kapara is concerned, we need dafka dam hanefesh and not dam atamtzis. Now, if this drasha, according to Rabbi Elazar, is acceptable even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't deny it, then kubdais, the dam atamtzis is posel zrika. You can't use it for zrika al mizbeach. And based on that, we have to assume that this bittul. Again, if you don't add the concept of bittul here, then the Gemara's kasha makes no sense, because since dam atamtzis has a shame dam, and it's kashal izrika, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who cares if it's not mechaper? It shouldn't bother us in this tarovis, because there's no iser zrikas dam tamtzis according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not machaper, but it's not a psul, and it has a shame dam. But the answer is, the Gemara's question here is predicated on the assumption that if there's rov dam tamtzis, it's mevatel the dam nefesh, and therefore you won't achieve anything by being zorik this mixture on the mizbeach. It won't generate a kapara. Ellis, the Gemara now introduces another sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which is relevant to Macholas Asuros. In Macholas Asuros, whenever there's a mixture, so there's a din of Bittul Barov, but Rabbi Yehuda rejects the din of Bittul Barov in a case of Min Bimino. El Rabbi Yehuda L'tamei, Diomar Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, since Dam, as far as Tam is concerned, every dam, whether it's dam nefesh or dam tamtzis, has the identical tam. Therefore, there's no possibility of bittel, and that's called min bimino, lo bottle. That's the famous sheet of Yehuda at the end of Masechta Avodah Zarah. And therefore, even if dam tamtzis, even if you want to claim it's posel zrika, or at least it's posel a kapara, so to speak, once it's mixed with dama kosher, it's not mavatal the dama kosher. This mixture lends itself to zrika because the dama kosher that's mixed in, that doesn't lose its identity, and it's not bottle. Tosfos here, Dibur Maskel Ein, asks, okay, so dam is not mavatal dam, and the dama kosher is not bottle in this tarovis. But nevertheless, there is a mixture of dam posel here. Some of the dam is posel zrika. Again, if we're going back to the assumption that dam tamtzis is posel zrika, so how are you allowed to be zorik this mixture on the mizbeach? Included in this mixture is dam tamtzis. So the answer is that Rabbi Elazar, later on, not here, but in the Sugya Dafayin Zayin in Zvachim, says that there's a din. There's a condition in the Isa Zrikas Dam Posel Mizbeach that you zorik it l'shem kapara. The kavonas agavra is what generates the violation of that Isa. In this case, the only reason he's doing the Zrika is shalol l'shem kapara. And in such a case, we see the Dam as if it was Mayan. And therefore, there's no violation of Zrikas Adam. There's also a sheet of Revelozo later on, Adaf Ein Ches, that Dam Kosher, Shenis Arev, B'dam Atamtzis Kosher. And with regard to what Tosfos says, that according to Revel Eliezer, Dam, that Nizrak, Shalol, Shem Kapar, is Ro'an Oso Kilu Mayim, that seems to be, according to Tosfos, a machlokas b'shin Revelozo Chachomim. Do we say, do we activate the principle of Ro'en Oso Ki'ilu Heim Mayim? That perhaps that's only with regard to a Dover HaRoy LaKrov, but in Dam Tamtzis, which is not Roy LaKrova, is everybody agrees that it's Kosher L'Zokra Al-Mizbeach Shalol L'Shem Kapara. In any event, the Gemara now brings the next part of the Braisa, and Rabbi Yehuda invokes a proof to support his shita. Amalehem Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachamim l'divrechem, if you're not going to be zorek, if you don't agree that we should do the zrika on the dam shenishpach, is lama pokekim. We have a Mishnah in Psachim that establishes that on Erev Pesach, they were so same the azora on Erev Pesach in order that the dam should not drain out as it normally does derech ha'oma to the Nachal Kidron. Obviously, they want a backup of this dam in order to be zorik the dam anishpach on the mizbech. No, there's another reason why they were pokikin. They clogged up the drains in the Azor Nerv Pesach because shevach or shvachu l'bnei Aaron she'ahalchu adak arkuvoseim b'dam. It's a shvach to the Kohanim, the Bnei Aaron, that they would knee deep in dam. And the reason for that is because when they dedicated themselves to the Avodah, they want to demonstrate that they have such a faith and such dedication that they're not repulsed by the dam. And therefore, they were poking it in order to make sure that the dam would be a backlog of dam, and the Kohanim would stand knee-deep in dam. The Gemara now asks, how could the Chachom say it's a Shevach to Kohanim? What about Chatzitza? V'adam havi Chatzitza? We have halacha that we learned early in the Masechta, in the Mishnah on Daf, Tesvav Amid Beis, which says that Omid al Akelim or al Gabi Behem al Gabi Ragli Chaver Posel, there cannot be any Chatzitza between the regel hakohen and the ritzvah, and now if he's knee-deep in dam, there's inevitably going to be a certain volume, a certain amount of dam that's going to serve as a chatzitza, separating his feet from the ritzvah samizbeach. So the Gemara answers that we have a brisa that says that Hadam, Vadio, Vadrash, Vacholav, these are all liquids, is Yaveshim Chotzitzim, Lachim Ein Chotzitzim. We have a principle here that Lach is not a Chatzitza. Something that's liquidy does not serve as a Chatzitza. And therefore the Dam, since it's liquidy, it's a liquid, it's not a Chatzitza. And this halach in Taras. So the Gemara continues to ask, V'hoka misvasvei monaihu. You have another problem. Even if you solve the problem of chatzitza, but you have a problem inevitably of big day kahuna, because we learned in a brisa that if the big day kahuna on meluchlochim, they're soiled, then that passes the avoda, because kunasa malem is only when big day malem, and now that the begadim are soiled, in the classical case they're soiled with cement or tit or afar, and the avad, if the kohen went ahead and did avoda while wearing these begadim meluchlochim into shtoshim, is avodasa psula. And here also the begadim of the kohen on the kohenim are now meluchlochim bidam, and that should possibly avoda. V'chitem, and if you'll give the answer to medalu lahu, that the kohenim would lift up their begadim on the bottom, their pants, in such a way that if they wouldn't get dirty bidam. V'atanya, we learned that the brisa darshins the pasuk in Vayikra Vav. V'lovash hakohen midovad u'michlasei vad yilbash al besaro. So again, in the case of Big Day Kahuna, the Big Day Kahuna have to be al besaro. And not only that, but the Torah says midobad, and midobad means that the mida of the bad, of the cloth of the Big Day Kahuna have to fit, measure up to the size of the coin. Midobad Kimidaso, Shalo Yechaser, Vishalo Yosir, that the begadim should not be too large and too small, and it means that the begadim are not permitted to lift up their begadim in order to avoid the lichluch of the dam. And Tosus here of Dibra Masa Vatanya says the Gemara's cash is according to Rav, Dafka according to Rav, who says on Daf Yud Ches, that begadim shehelo some, if let's say for example he ties the avnet, the belt around his waist in such a way that he lifts up the begadim and it looks like he's wearing short pants, is that's considered as if he cut off the end of the beged, the bottom of the beged, and it's possible according to Rami Bar Chama, who disagrees with Rav, if he ties them with an avnet, if he lifts up his slacks because he's tying it with his belt, that's kosher. We don't see it as if the bottom of his mikhlasayim are completely cut off. Therefore, this kasha is not a kasha. And the Sfasemis wants to say that perhaps everyone would agree to this kasha, even Rami Bar Chama, because if it's roi latiro, then kol roi labila ain bila ma kevesbo. Here, we're talking about his being matir sa'avnet, that if he loosens the avnet, his begadol will be mislach, will get dirty with the dam, and everybody agree with his avoda is psula because kol aroy lebila ain bila makeves bo. So the Gemara now answers that the Chachamim did not mean to say that the Kohanim would actually walk in the dam during their avoda, because the avoda requires levishas bigdei kahuna, and there would be a serious problem of getting the begadim saturated with dam. That would make it mitush toshim. But rather, what the Chacham had in mind is when they said pokekim was bizman holacha sevarim lakevesh delav avodahi. Now the Gemara at this point is assuming that holacha lakevesh, when they carried up the parts of the animal faktor on the mizbeach through the kevesh, through the ramp, that act of halach is not considered an avoda. It doesn't require bigdei kahuna. Now Rashi points out elsewhere that this is not considered me'ila in the begadim. Notice he's not using the begadim for his own purposes when he lifts them up in order to avoid the dam. And not only that, Rashi says that when they went up the kevesh, they would lift up their begadim, so it's not miluchlochim. Again, you have to know, this is a sugya which we didn't even cover about the machlokes, the Ram and the Ravid, about wearing bigdei kahuna shelo litzorech, or shelo b'shas avoda, whether or not that's considered wearing the begadim. Are they allowed to wear the begadim shelo b'shas avoda? But here, apparently, both the Ram and the Ravid would agree unanimously that when they're climbing up the kevesh, even if that's not considered an avoda, but nevertheless it's for the sake of the avoda, it's necessary, and therefore there would be no problem wearing bigdei kahuna. And now Rashi says that when they go up the kevesh, they lift their begadim up, and that's okay. It's not considered mechusar begadim and invalidated by virtue of mido kimidoso. So the Gemara asks, "Velo, are you telling me in the premise of your answer that the holacha lakevesh, when they bring up the evarim faktora, that's not considered avoda, and it doesn't require bigdei kahuna? Vatanya, we have a brisa that darshins the pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra. It says vakerev vakraayim yirchatz b'moyim." Vehikri vakoin esakol, vehiktir amizbecha olahu ishe reach nichoch lashem. Notice that the word vehikriv in the Torah, and we had this many times in Masechta Zvachim, is interpreted as holacha. Vehikriv means taking it close to the mizbech, that's called holacha. And in the parasha of Ola, the Torah says vehikriv vakoin esakol. And the extra es hakol is coming to be marba, says the brisa, zu halacha sevarim lakevesh. So it means that climbing up the kevesh to bring the dam close to the mizbeach is considered an avoda, and you need a kohen who's kosher, you need a kohen who's wearing bigdei kahuna. And if that be the case, if he lifts the lower part of his trousers while he's climbing up the kevesh, then that would be a problem of kimidoso. It'd be a chisaron and bigdei kahuna. Elas, the Gemara answers a different answer, that when were the kohanim steeped in dam? That was only bisman at the time of holochas eitzim lamarocha delav avodahi. When they were molech, not the dam, but rather the eitzim, right? The eitzim have to be placed on the marocha, on the mizbeach, for the purpose of generating the fire. That holoch of the eitzim is not considered an avoda, and therefore, it doesn't require bigdei kahuna. So the Gemara clarifies this. The Gemara says, "Are you telling me that during all the avodos, the Kohanim, because they require bigdei kahuna, were enjoined from entering into the dam, but being steeped in the dam? Ulavoda hechi ozle, how would the Kohanim be mahalech? How would they go on the azora go from place to place at the time of the Avodah when they needed Big Day Kuhuna. And there was what's called an Amos Gura, and the Azor was full of Dam. In other words, if they did the Pokekim as Azora, and normally the Dam would have gone Derech HaOma, but now the Oma was completely closed up. So then they're now going into Dam. I mean, the Azor is full of Dam. How did they avoid that? So the Gemara answers, Azli Aitztabe, the Kohanim would work at the time when they were working and they were going from place to place in the Azara at the time of the Avoda, they would stand on Itztabos. And these Itztabos, these kind of platforms, were lifted up from the Ritzvah, and in such a way that there would be no contact with the Big Day Kahuna and the Dam. Now, again, you have to assume that these Itztabos were made of and part of the Binyan Avanim. They were part of the Ritzpah, because otherwise, again, that would be a Chatzitza between the feet of the Kohanim and the Ritzpah. But these Itztabos, since they're part of the Binyan Avanim, they are part of the Ritzpah, they don't serve as a Chatzitza. And now we're on the top of, in the middle of Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, in the top of the Mishnah, and let's give a short introduction to the Mishnah. We've already learned in the first parak, back on Daf Chav Zayin, that the Shochet, if he shechts with the mindset of what's called the Achar Zman, that the Basar HaZevach will be eaten past its allotted time, or that the Haktar Saimurim will be past its allotted time, that makes the Zevach, the Karban, into Pigel, and if someone eats Pigel, he's Chayiv Kares. And that halach applies not only to the Shochet, but any of the four Avodos, if it's Avodah Amateres. In addition, if he shechts Almanas chutz limkomo, which means that the basar should be eaten, the basar korban, out of the azor, or the haktorah should be out of the mizbeach, then he passels the korban. It's not pigul, but it's a psul in the korban. The Mishnah wants to add a number of details with regard to these dinim. Hashochet es hazevach lechol, dover shein darko lechol, lahaktir, dover shein darko lahaktir. Kosher, that these machshavos, what we call machshava poseles of chutz zman, chutz komo, only apply with regard to something that is darko lechol. In other words, the din of this basar, let's say it's a murim faktora, is to be muktarim, and he shechts in order to be maktir chutz zman, chutz komo. But if it's a davar she'ein darko lechol, it's not designated for haktara, it's ein darko lechol or ein darko lahaktir. And let's say we're not talking about the basar. I'm sorry, we're not talking about the evarim or the emurim that have to be burnt on the mizbech. We're talking about the basar that should be eaten. That's ein darko lahaktir. And he has in mind, with regard to a carbon that's nechal, again, we're not talking about an ola, because an ola is kula kol, even the basar is subject to haktara. But if we're talking about basar, which is nechal, the karbonas ha-necholim, with the exception of ola, and his das was lahaktir sa-basar, chutzum zman, chutzum kol, the carbon is kosher. That's called davar shein darko lahaktir. And again, in the case of Ein Darko Lechol, you can include a Dover Shein Roy Lachila, for example, Atzomos Ugidin, that are not Roy Lamachal Adam. The Mishnah here is talking about a Murim, so it doesn't mention Atzomos Ugidin, but the same Allah would apply to Atzomos Ugidin. That's not Roy Lachilas Adam, Ein Darko Lechol, and therefore Machsheves Chutzis Mano Chutzim Kovod does not passel the carbon. For Rabbi Eliezer Posel, Rabbi Eliezer says that we can include both Achilus Adam and Achilus Mizbeach with in the context of Machshava Poseles. So even if he has in mind to eat a murim that are normally burnt on the Mizbeach, that would also be a Machshava Poseles. And the Gemara Menachas on Daf Yud Zayin goes into an entire explanation of this machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. But just let me point out that what we said before, in the case of Ein Darko Lechol, which is referring to a murim that are subject to Haktara, and here Rabbi Eliezer would say it is a machshava posels, but if it was Ein Darko Lechol b'metzius mamish, like atzamos u'gidin, that are not physically consumable, it's not fit for human consumption, then even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that that's not a machsheva poselis. The machlokus is what happens in the case of a murim, which have a din of haktara. If he had that machsheva regarding a murim that it should be chutzim zman or chutzim komo, would that passel the karma? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, because these emurim are royal lachilas mizbeach, and therefore ipso facto they're considered royal lachilas adam because of the equation between the two. And we're not sure, that's the sugi menachas, whether Rabbi Eliezer's psul is only midrabbanon or it's a psul doraisa. If it's a psul drabbanon, the rabbanon instituted gzeira even to pasul a carbon, even if the machshava was shalo kidarko, because it might come to lead to a case of machshava kedarko. Again, you have to know exactly how the rabbanon pasal a karba, which is kosher with the raisa. But in any event, let's assume for the time being that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the psul in this case of a machshava chutzis mana chutzim komo in a murim, in achilas a murim, pasals the karba with the raisa. And in the case of Machsheves Chutzis Mana, we go a step further, the carbon becomes pigul. So why did Rabbi Eliezer say posel, which always means in the Mishnah that it's posel, but it's not pigul. Here it should be pigul. And that we saw already back in Daf Yud Gimel, also in Daf Chav Zayin, that the Gemara always assumes the word posel means posel, but not pigul. And the answer is because Rabbi Eliezer's statement here in the Mishnah includes even Chutzim Machsheves Chutzim Komo, which doesn't generate a shame pigul, but rather a shame psul. Now, there are other cases that are not mentioned in the Mishnah of machshava of shalo kidarko, and subject once again to the machlok shin Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim. For example, dam is not considered royalistly achilas adam. So if a person has machshava to drink the dam chutzus mana chutzum komo, or for example, when you talk about chometz mincha or levona, that's not royal achilas adam. That's not fit for human consumption. So if he has in mind lahaktir shiori ha mincha chutzus mana chutzum komo, then that too would be subject to the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim. And that's not to be equated with atzamos u'gidin that we mentioned before, that even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that the machshava doesn't pasul the karbon. Or for example, the machshava in the case of achilas besar porim anisrofim v'beis hadeshen, where Rabbi Eliezer would be moda the karbon is kosher, because these things are not roy even for the mizbeach. So if you have something that's royal mizbeach, but it's not royal achilas adam, then Rabbi Yehuda says that is a machshava posels chutzis mana chutzim komo. But if on the other hand it's not even royal achilas mizbeach, so it's completely mufka from both categories of achilas adam and achilas mizbeach, there Rabbi Yehuda would certainly agree that the machshava doesn't passel the carbon. The machshava chutzis mana chutzim komo doesn't passel the carbon. And again, just to include on that list, to review what we said, atzamos u'gidin, or besar parmen isrofim, which is not brought on any mizbeach whatsoever. But if, on the other hand, you're talking about something which is royal mizbeach, like shiori mincha, even though it's not fit for human consumption, Or, for example, achilas dam, which is not fit for human consumption, but it's royal mizbeach, then Rabbi Eliezer says that the fact that it's royal achilas mizbeach generates a psul in machsheves chutz, even with regard to achilas adam. Now, the Mishnah addresses the question of what's the shiur, what's the minimum amount for a machsheves psul. So the Mishnah says, let's say he shechts the korban almanas lechol chutz lezman chutz mkomo davish adarko lechol or davish adarko lahaktir. So that's okay. That would qualify as a machshava poselis, even according to the Chachomim of Rabbi Eliezer. But he animine pochos mikizayis, less than a kizayis of the karman. Kosher. The minimum amount for a machshava poselis in achilo, whether it's achilos odom, akhtoral, gabi mizbech, is a kizayis. But if he has in mind lechol kechatzi zayis, lahatir kechatzi zayis, do we and can we integrate a machshava on achilas adam of a half a zayis together with machshava on aktoral gabi mizbeach of a chatzi zayis? Again, we're talking about a machshava posel, so we want to integrate and be mitzarev the chatzi zayis of achila and the chatzi zayis of aktora. So the Mishnah establishes, no, we don't do that integration. Ein achila of aktora mitzarfin, and therefore this is not a machshava poseles, and the korban is kosher. So it's interesting that although we saw in the Reisha of the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer will mar the distinction between these two categories of achilas adam and achilas mizbeach, and therefore to generate a darko lechel, it's enough that it was darko lechel gabi mizbeach, even though his machshav was on achilas adam, and that would pass the carbon, but that equation between achilas adam and achilas mizbeach doesn't apply in the case of the volume, the minimum volume of achila, namely the requirement of a kizayis minimally. We will not, even according to Rabbi Lezer, integrate achilas adam and aktaras mizbeach to form and generate a full kizayis and pasul the korban. The Mishnah now enumerates other machshavos which do not generate a psul in the korban. Ashokeres hazevach lechol kizayis min haor umin harotev umin hakipa umin haolol umin hatzomos umin hagidin umin hakarnayim umin hatlofim chutzus mano, chutzum komo, kosher. Here are cases where the machshav is on something that's not roi lachila. So let's go through the list one by one. We have number one, we have R, which means the R of behema. The skins of the behema, the hides, are not roi lachilas adam. We have rotev, which is a kind of a soup in which when they cooked the meat, they had this kind of soup. And minakipa, we had a mixture of what's called tavlin, certain spices, which have inside of them small pieces of meat that sort of float around the sides of the pot. Olol is a certain sinew in the neck of the animal. It's very tough. It's not edible. Then we had atzomos and gidin, other parts of the animal like the bones and the sinews. Minakarnayim, or you talk about the horns. Minatlofim, those are the hooves. And in all these cases, the machshavas chutzus mano chutzus komo is not a machshava poselis, the carbon remains kosher. Let's just go through the list one more time, and this time we'll offer the English translation. First, we had the case of the R, the hide of the animal. The hide of the animal is not subject to aktoral gabi mizbeach, nor is it eaten by Adam. It's completely unfit for consumption. Rotev, we said, was a kind of a gravy. In other words, the meat of the carbon, the basar carb, was cooked. And that's discussed by the Rambam here in his Pirush HaMishnayos on our Mishnah. Now, although there's certainly a nesinas tam of the basar absorbed in the gravy, nevertheless, it's not considered basar as far as hakrava is concerned. So it's not subject, doesn't lend itself to hakrava, to haktara, even though we pass in tam kikar doraisa, but nevertheless, the basar, in terms of this gravy, doesn't have a status of basar, although it's also bachila in machol sasuras. Then we had the case of kipa, kepa. I just want to see how he pronounces the word. Just 1 second. He calls it kifa. And that, we said, was sediments. In other words, there's an accumulation of spices and particles of meat on the sides of the pot or on the bottom of the pot. And this, according to the Mishnah, doesn't passel the carbon. And the reason for this is because his intention has to be related to an achila, a significant achila, an achila chashuva, in order to passel the carbon. And just the same way that if he has a machshava on something that's eno roi l'achila, that part of the animal that's not fit for human consumption, so too, and that's not, that doesn't pass the carbon, so too, something that has no chashivus, like the case of rotev or kipa, kefa, these sediments or gravies do not have that significance, and therefore they don't pass the carbon. Then we said, olol, which is not exactly clear what the ol here. Rashi says the sinew in the neck. In the English, he translates as a cervical ligament, and it's very hard, as we said, it's not edible. The Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, offers an alternative interpretation of olol, and he says that it's a reference to shreds of flesh that remain attached to the hide when it's separated from the animal's body. And again, these shreds are very insignificant. They have no chashivus, and therefore the machshava poseles does not generate a psul in the carbon. Tosus in Masechta Chulin says that olol is dead flesh. In other words, if you were a vegetarian, you would cut it away, but it's even less significant than shreds of flesh remaining in the hide. And then we had karnayim, the horns, and tlufim, which we said were the hooves on the feet of the animal. These bones and hooves are not edible, and therefore there's no machshava poseles. And then we had the case of gidin and atzamos, which are the bones and the sinews, which in general we could say about the gidin, these are blood vessels, tendons, membranes, ligaments, nerves. And all these are not roi l'achilas adam. So again, if we translate the word gidin as sinews, that's being overly simplistic, because gidin is more general, all-inclusive term. Now, there are soft parts of the karnayim and tlofim, and these parts are close to the meat. If you would cut these soft parts of the tlofim or the karnayim, since they're so close to the meat of the animal, the flesh of the animal, it would bleed. Nevertheless, if he had an intention with regard to these parts of the tlofim, the Mishnah's machadish, that still doesn't pass the carbon, and therefore we define them as eno roi l'achilas adam, even though again they're so close to the meat, and that's included under mina karnayim umina tlofim. So in all these cases, the carbon is not validated, because chutzus manu chutzum koma only applies if the offering is fit for consumption according to Rabbi Lezer, could be fit for consumption on the Mizbeach, but these are items listed in the Mishnah that are not even subject to Haktara al Gabi Mizbeach. The Mishnah adds, V'ein chayovin alem mishum pigul. In all these above cases, there's no pigul in the carbon. And the question is why the Mishnah had to add pigul here. After all, if it doesn't pass the carbon, then we know it's not pigul. What's the additional chiddush here of pigul? So let's just see if he says that in the Hebrew translation, he writes that rotev and kippa einam miguf hazevach. And then he quotes Tosfos that in the case of rotev, since they're makabel adam and tam ki ikar, he says that with regard to kodshim, everybody agrees in chulin tzadiches that tam ki ikar, and therefore, just like yechai frachilas pigul on basar, he should be chai frachilas pigul on an achil of a kezayis worth of rotev or kippah that have a tam basar. But nevertheless, as far as a machshava posels to create pigul on rotev, that would not be a machshava haposeles. And there's a chiddush here that's attributed to Reb Chaim Brisker that tam ki ikar is a new iser; it's not the old iser. And with regard to a new iser, there's no chiv kares, or what we call chatas b'shogeg for tam ki ikar, and that might shed a light here on our Mishnah of rotev and kippah. In any event, what we're saying over here, ein chayovin alem mishum pigul, that the... I asked you before, why is it that the Mishnah identifies or singles out pigul here? Why don't you say there's no psul? The answer is, if you medayik in the Lashon HaMishnah, the Mishnah says, ein chayovin alem mishum pigul. In other words, the Mishnah is now telling you a whole different din. And that is, what happens if you eat parts of an animal, of a carbon, that the carbon was pigul. There was pigul. It was a classical case of machshav of chutz luzmano for achila, royal achila, and it generates a psul pigul and an isur kares. What happens if instead of eating the parts of this carbon that are fit for human consumption, he eats the other parts of the carbon? And that's what the Mishnah says. And these other parts of the carbon that are enumerated here in the Mishnah with regard to machshava posolos that doesn't possel the carbon because they're not fit for human consumption, then he would not be chayv kares for eating pigul if he ate those parts of the carbon that were not roi lachilas adam. And on that we say that even though tam ki ikar, why not be chayv for rotev if it has within it pigul that gives tam into the rotev? And the answer is, according to Reb Chaim, that there's a new din of tam ki ikar as an iser chadash, and there's no chiv kares for tam ki ikar, which is a fascinating principle that may have tremendous implications. And now the Mishnah adds nosar and tameh. Let's say, for example, the carbon was left li'achar zmano, and there was no hakrova, there was no achila within the time allotment, the time allowed. Now he eats the nosar, which normally would generate kares, because the Torah says in Vayikra Yutes that eating nosar is a chiyuv kares. But here, with regard to those types of achilos that are listed, enumerated in this Mishnah, there's no chiv of nosar because it's not royal achila. And tameh, if let's say he's tameh and he eats the carbon, a tameh that eats basar kodshim is chayav kares, as the Torah says, Vayikra Zayin, Vanefesh Tochal Basam Yizevach Hashlom Mashal Hashem V'tumasa Olav V'nichus Vanefesh Ha'imi Ameha. But here, he's not chayev, In the same way, he's not chayv for eating pigul if he eats these parts, pigul and nosar, because they're not roi le'achila. So this part of the Mishnah really belongs, if you will, to Masech Techulin. The Mishnah now adds other dinim regarding Machsheves Pigul, as far as all the different parts of the Karban, Hashochet Es HaMukdashim. Mukdashim is a lashon of Nekeva, Rashi says, and his kavod was almanas lechol shlil. So we're talking about someone who shechts a female pregnant animal that was sanctified as a karban, but his machshav was to eat the shalil, which is the ubar b'mei imo, the fetus in its mother's womb. And let me just see if he translates it as a fetus. Let's see his translation. Yeah, he also calls it a fetus. Now we have shalil. I think that's the placenta. Let's see how he translates it. He calls it the afterbirth. I assume that's the placenta. And again, in these cases, we're talking about the fetus and the placenta that are not actually part of the karban, and therefore his machshava haposelis here of chutzus manu chutzum komo is not considered related to the karban per se, but rather to parts that are not nikrav, they're not part of the animal itself. He translates in Hebrew the shilyas and nartik hamishava misviv laubar. Lo pigol, the Mishnah says that's not called pigol, and the carbon is still kosher because shalil and shilya are not part of the carbon as far as haktar is concerned. And in addition, that not roi lachila. So mimonav shok, there's no achila here. Neither achilas adam in these cases, no achilas mizbeach. Now, he quotes Rashi, dibra maskel pigol, and he compares it to Rashi in his Pirush HaGemara, that the reason here for Shalil and Shilya is that the naf miguf hazevach. Okay. Now the Mishnah concludes with the case of Hamolek, and now we're talking about Malika Ba'of, which is parallel and corresponds to Shkita Bizvachim. Malika means that he cuts the neck of the oaf from the outside, from the neck part, with his tziporin, with his nail. And his kavana was, in the case of turtle doves, which are subject to malichas ha'oaf, lechol beitzeim b'chutz, in other words, chutz mekomo, chutz zmano, to eat the eggs of the turtle dove outside of the allotted time period or allotted place. And the Mishnah says, in such a case, lo pigel, because these are not part of the carbon itself. He translates torim as pigeons. Okay? Fine, pigeons, turtle doves, whichever you like. Lo pigel. That doesn't generate pigel, because that's not part of the gufa karbon. And chol of mukdashim, or beitzei torim, ein chayov en aleihem mishum pigel. In other words, if the karbon became pigel through a machshav of chutzus man chutzum koma, now he drinks the milk of the carbon, or he eats the eggs, he's potter, because pigul is only chal on the gufa carbon and not these extended parts which are not subject to haktar al gabi mizbeach. And the same is true with regard to nosar and tomei, that if the carbon became nosar liachar, it was left liachar zman achilas a carbon, or if the Tomei would eat these parts of the Karban, he's not considered as violating the isut of a tame eating basar kodshim, because this is not part of the karban per se. We have a few minutes just to start the Gemara. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Elazar the Amora, who says pigel bezevach. In other words, if he shechted almanas lechol lahakter chutzus manu nispagel hashlil. Even the fetus in its mother's womb at the time of the shechita, the mother was pregnant, becomes posel b'toras pigel if it's chutzus manu. And if someone eats it, he's chayv kares. In other words, the sholil is considered, according to Rabbi Elazar, miguf hazevach. And that's called uber yerech imo, that the uber is seen as an extension of the mother's body. However, b'shlil, with regard to the placenta that covers the fetus, if he shechted it, he shechted the karban almanas, lechol min ashlil, chutz l'zmano, lo nispagel hazevach. And that we saw already in our Mishnah, the reason is because most people don't eat the sholil, and therefore he's considered choshev lechol dovashen darko lechol, and that machshov is not a machshova poseles, and it's quite possible that even Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, would agree that there's no machshova poseles in the case of a sholil. And it means that it's not miguf hakorban, and it's not royal achilas adam. So mimonav shach, it doesn't fit into any category of achila. So let's go over this one more time. Nispagel hashlil, if he had a machshav chutz lizmano on the shalil, that's considered guf hazevach, and therefore it generates a shem pigul and a chiyuv kares for its achila, but that's only as far as shalil is concerned. That's only as far as a machshava. If he had a machshava poselus on the karbon and now the shalil, since there's uber yerech imo according to Rabbi Elazar, is considered an extension of the karbon of the mother, therefore the shalil is also pigul. But if on the other hand his machshavas pigul was on the shalil, then on the fetus, then if he shechts the shalil, forget about the placenta for the time being, but if he shechts the karba with a machshava of achilas chutzusmano on the shalil, that's not pigul. In other words, we're viewing the shalil in the theory of relativity as relative to the mother, to be schlepped along. It's a noch schlepper to the mother, and the machsheves pigul on the mother is chal even vis-a-vis the shalil. But if his machsheves chutzus mano is only exclusively on the shalil itself, that just doesn't generate a psul of pigul, because again, since he had a machshava of achil on something that's not usually eaten, the shalil is not usually eaten, then it's a dover she'ein darko lechol. However, if nispagel azevach, then since there are some people who eat the shalil is included in the iser pigul. In other words, it's not equivalent to atzamos and gida, which are completely eino royal achila, that would not generate a chiyuv kares for achilas pigul. But since there are people that find it edible to eat the sholil, that would generate a chiyuv kares in its achila. Again, if the machshava poselus was on the gufa karban, and therefore bichal vis-a-vis the fetus as well, but not if the machsheves chutzus mano was on the sholil itself. So again, if he slaughters the sacrifice with an intention of chutzus mano, then not only does the carbon itself become pigul, but even the sholil, the pigul becomes the sholil itself becomes pigul. and therefore if you eat the fetus in such a case, you chayv kares. But if his intention was chutzis mano on the fetus itself, but not on the karban, that does not generate pigul. And in order to explain this distinction, Rashi points out that although uber yerech imo, nevertheless, most people would not eat it. So if he has an intention of chutzis mano on the gufa korban, then yuber yerech imo extends the shame pigel to include the sholil, the fetus as well. But if his machshava of chutzis mano was exclusively on the fetus, then it's considered something that's inedible because most people wouldn't eat it, and therefore the machshava posel chutzis mano would not generate an isur pigel on the guf habehema. If, on the other hand, he had a machshava on the gufa karma, on the mother itself, then once that generates pigul, then we extend the iser pigul to include even the shilya, insofar as uber yerech imo. And although you might say, well, why should that achila generate achi of kari, since it's generally not eaten, it's not royal achila, as we said, but nevertheless, some people would eat it. And if he decides he's going to eat it, then that's achshave. That considers as an achila chashuva, and therefore he's chayev kares. Then Rabbi Loza goes on and he says the following: nispagla mora'a. Mora'a. This is considered pigul. Mura'a. Mura'a. Let's pronounce it as mur'a. And what's mur'a? That's called the zefek, otherwise known as the crap. So in the case of pigel bi'olol, if he has a machshavas pigel on that sinew that we said was in the neck of the bird, in the case of alika sa'of, that he's going to eat the olol chutzus mano, since the olol is soft in its royal achila, that generates pigul. That's Rabbi Loza's shita. And the question is, how do we learn the Mishnah according to Rabbi Loza? And Rashi points out here that the olol of the Mishnah and the olol of Rabbi Loza are two different entities. One is the olal of an oaf, which is soft and edible. The other is the olal of a behema, which is tough and unedible. And in Rabbi Loza's frame of reference, we're talking about chatas oaf, which is a nechal, not olas oaf, which is kulul mizbeach. So since the chatas oaf is nechal, the olal is also considered nechal, and therefore the machsheves chutzis mano generates pigul. And that pigul is chal even on the mura, which is in Hebrew called the zefek, in English it's called a crap, and Rashi identifies it as a kiss, sha'ochel nikbats sham, ha'ochel shaboleah ha'of yorei derech ha'veshet, b'sim ha'veshet, down at the bottom of the esophagus. In other words, a little below the higher point of the tzavar, the neck, there is a kiss, some sort of a sack, and the ochel is miskabitsham. There it stays in order to start the process of consumption, of digestion. That's called a zefek or a mora'ah, otherwise known as a mura'ah. And the ochel then goes down to the other evarim of equal, the other digestive organs, which are called kurkavan and me'ayim. So this mura is considered part of the oaf, and if there was pigul on the oaf, because he's mafagal on the olol, then the mura itself is asur. That's called the extension. That's like the fetus in the case where he had a machsheves pigul on the guf hakarbon. But on the other hand, says Rabbi Lazar, if he had a machsheves pigel on the mur'ah, and he thought of eating it la'achar zman, that doesn't generate a pigel on the oaf. And memel, if there's no pigel on the oaf, lo nispagel olol shalo. And the reason for this is that the mu'urah is not something that's eaten by most people, and therefore the machsheves achila on the mu'urah would not generate pigel. However, if there was pigel on the oaf, then since some people would eat the mu'urah, there's a chaloshem isekares of pigel even on the mu'urah. So this, in a sense, is very similar or exactly parallel to what Rabbi Lazar said earlier about the shilya, about the shlil, meaning the fetus. Rabbi Lazar says that if you shecht parma nisrafim, okay, we'll talk about three categories of chatos, and one category is called parma nisrafim. In other words, what kind of chatos are brought from parim, from cows? Do you have the parshal Yom Kippur and the par kohen gadol mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha? And if he was shogeg bahora on something that you'd be chayv karisam, he has to bring a chatos, and that's brought from a par. Then there's something called par helim davashal tzibur, if the Sanhedrin HaGadol makes a mistake in their verdict on something that's an isa karis. And every shevet would have to bring its own par helim davashal tzibur, even if it didn't sin. That's called a par. And all the parim on Nisrafim are considered chatos pnimios, where the dam is nizrak in the inside, the pnim in the heichal. The emurim are burnt on the mizbeach achitzon, and the basar and the ar of the Nisrafim go to the beis hadeshen, that's outside of the confines of the city. So now, in any of these cases of parim Nisrafim, pigel be'emurim, notice he thought a machsheves haktorah li'achar zman is nispaglu parim, even though his machshav was only on the emurim, but nevertheless there will be a chaloshem pigel and an isa kares, a chiv kares, for the entire par. Whereas in the flip side, biparim, if he shechted in with a machshav of chutz l'zmano on the achilas habasar, lo nispaglu emurim, and therefore if there's no chal shem on the emurim, then if he eats from them, he's potter from karis. And the reason for that is because his machshava was to eat something that's ein darko lechol, and ein darko lechol here in the case of a para nisraf applies to the emurim, because they, after they're burnt, they go to the Beis HaDeshen. That's not called a machshavas pigel on a dover roi lachil. It's not even roi lachilas mizbeach. Now Rashi mentions that if he ate from the kloyos or yoseres hakoved, in such a case, he will be potur from kares. Why? Because the pigel in the machshava on the par is not chal vis-a-vis the emurim. But if he eats from the chelev, then even though he's not chayev mishum pigel, he's chayev mishum achilas chelev, which generates kares in any event. But we're talking about the kloyos and the oseres hakoved. Those are emurim that don't have any sukaris per se, unless they became pigel, and the machshav on the par does not generate a shame pigel on the emurim. Now, we said over here that the machshava is not chal on the emurim, because the emurim is considered dover she'ein darko lechol. Now, what happens if he had a machshava to be sorry for the basar li'achar zmano? Would that be a machsheves pigul? Because the basar does lend itself to sreifa, it's parma nisrafim. So Rashi says no. because only with regard to a davar haniktar al hamizbeach is there a machsheves pigul, the shaychus machsheves pigul, but basar parim, that's nisraf not on the mizbeach but in the beis hadeshen, which is outside of the ear, that is not subject to and not included in a machsheves pigul. Now, basically, if we want to summarize the underlying common denominator, the common thread of all of Rabbi Elazar's presentation, the chiddush is that there are things where the machshava doesn't that about them or regarding them, the machshava is not a machshava hamefageles. But if the carbon itself became pigul for a machshava on the gufa carbon, then they become pigul as well. So these are accessories and extensions of the carbon, which if there was a carbon, a machsheves chutzisman on the gufa carbon, they become included in the iser pigul and the chiyuv kares. And lemim sayele, now the Gemara at the bottom of daf lamed hey lamed aleph, which we'll pick up in Mirza Shem tomorrow, lemim sayele, three lines up from the bottom of the page, wants to bring a proof to support Rabbi Elazar. And there's a whole discussion in the Achronim about what exactly is the chidush of Rabbi Elazar. You know, the fact that the Gemara feels compelled to try to bring a raya for Rabbi Elazar means there must have been a great chidush, and you could argue and reject Rabbi Elazar. What is the svar, the counter svar against Rabbi Elazar? All right, we'll stop here.